for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
This is tape one of two tapes of the first service of the Memorial Weekend camp meeting, Thursday evening, May the 23rd, 2002. Jack Harris of the Piney Grove Assembly of Beckville, Texas, and Henry Wright from Pleasant Valley Church of to Thompson, Georgia, are the speakers on this tape. Harris is pastor of Piney Grove Assembly in Beckville, Texas. He's just filling in down there until they find a pastor. I don't know who they've got that they're trying out yet, but in the meantime, while he's filling in down there for them, Jack, come and minister to us here for a while this evening, the word of the Lord. Amen, amen.
Turn yourself. Praise the Lord. Well, when I came there, I told him I didn't want a pastor, but I would fill in for him so I could get somebody. And I cautioned him to be, now, be looking for somebody. I don't want you to quit looking, because I don't want this to last long. Well, that was, I think it's 49 years ago. I sometimes suspect they're not even looking for pastors. Praise the Lord. God is great, isn't he? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, I'm glad to be here. I believe that Peter, on the mountain of, at the Mountain of Transfiguration, he gave us all one short testimony. It's good to be here, Lord. So all preachers since then have said, it's good to be here. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Many of you, I don't think I know. I've been coming here for years, but I've been kind of under the weather. I've got a respiratory problem that keeps me from doing all the things I'd like to do. And I haven't been coming much the last 3 or 4 years, I guess. But I'm glad to be back here tonight. I've preached up and down the country and all over this country and abroad, many countries. If you travel as much as I did, you have to make yourself a few rules for the road. And I never minded the road so much, but I did make me a rule for the air. And when I get on an airplane and went to my seat and said, whoever was glad, I never told them I was a preacher. Don't never tell them you're a preacher. If I tell them I'm a preacher, they don't know whether now to treat me like the Pope or like a plague. And if I don't tell them I'm a preacher, well, hey, I can talk on almost any subject, for a short flight. And we could have a good conversation on something else, maybe. And I didn't figure I was going to convert them anyhow on just one flight. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. God is great, isn't he?
Amen.
Well, somebody asked me just recently, Brother Jack, when did the Lord call you? And I said, I don't remember back that far. I can't remember that. Now, I've got a sister that preaches, and she swears that she had a confrontation with the Lord and knows exactly when it was and where it was and how it was. And I've heard many other ministers say that. And they'd ask me, well, how did it happen to you? And I said, I don't remember. I believe, though, that I read somewhere where I was called from the foundation of the world. And, hey, I'm not that ancient. If I were to live as long as my father lived, I'd still have 20, what I have, about 22 years left. Somehow or another, I don't think I'll make it to there. I don't. We may none of us make it to there in this world as we are. But we'll have a great time until that time. And, you know, the Lord can do anything he wants to. I don't know that the Lord showed me a lot of favors in life. And I traveled and found favor with everybody that I come in contact with. And I stand here today. I don't know of a person in this world that I think hard of, even. There's nobody that I'd like to see have some bad luck, as we call it. Nobody. I hope that they'd say the same about me, but I'm not sure they would, but I've tried to treat everybody fair and blessed them with the blessings of the Lord, and it's just been good. Hey, if it's over tonight, it's been good. It's been great. There was one lady, though, in spite of my rules to never tell anybody I was a preacher on an airplane, there's one lady that didn't have to be told. I came down the ramp in New York at the Kennedy Airport, and a lady was standing at the foot of it, and as I come down with the, you know how they crowd off an airplane, she said, "Brother John," and she pointed at me, and I had noticed her standing there, and I said, "Well, you talking to me?" She said, "Yeah, I'm talking to you." She said, "Come down." So I stepped off there and to find out what she wanted, and she said, "You're an apostle, aren't you?" I believe she asked me if I wasn't, but she told me I was, and I said, "Well, hey, I don't go around over the country telling everybody I'm an apostle. I'm a preacher." She said, "Yeah, the Lord told me that you'd be on this flight, and said I've got a little congregation over here in the corner of this airport, and we'd like for you to come over and teach us the way of life." And I said, "Well, I'd be glad to do that. I've got, how long got?" I said, "I've got about an hour and 40 minutes here. I'll give you all of it." And so I went over there, and they were singing some of the choruses that we knew. So they said, she told him, I told her what my last name was. "This is Brother John Harris." Well, of course, my name's Jack, but she said, "Jack and John, same, and that's all right with me." And anyway, she knew me when I come down there. So I said, "Well, why don't we sing a few of these courses here and let me try to get the feel of this, and I'll minister to you." And we sang a few courses, and I preached 45 minutes. I gave them, I preached them sonship, maturity. And when I finished, well, I said, "How many of you are spirit-filled?" And there's three or four of them held up their hand. There were about 40 of them, 35, 40 of them. And the rest of them, I said, "Well, how many of you would like to be spirit-filled then?" And, of course, all the hands went up, and I said, "All right, just step right up here, and I'm going to lay hands on you, and you'll receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and then you just cultivate. You just cultivate it." And so they came. I laid hands on them. They received the Holy Ghost, and I think they still cultivate it. I get cards from them at Christmas time from some of them still. And that's been years ago, a lot of years ago. Another incident that is memorial to me is I was going one time to up in Pennsylvania to do a camp. I was going to preach camp meeting and our convention, I think. I forget whether we called them camp meetings or conventions. We called them both. And anyhow, I stayed all night in Roanoke, Virginia. And I got up the next morning and about 8 o'clock and pulled out. I was supposed to start that Sunday night. That was on Saturday night, and I was supposed to start Sunday morning. And I was supposed to start Sunday night. It's still a good ways up there. So I was driving along about 10 o'clock, looking at my watch, and I said, Hey, Lord, it's been a long time since I hadn't been in church on Sunday morning. And I kind of missed it. I said, I wish there was a church around here somewhere that I could stop off. You know, a small church, holiness, Pentecostal, or move of God, whatever they may label it. Don't make me no difference what you label yourself. It's what's under the label. Hallelujah. If it's flowing, you can't label it anyhow.
That's right.
You've got to harness it first. Well, so I didn't go just a little ways, and I seen a sign that said, free coffee and donuts, next rest area. So I thought, well, I can do with a donut or two and a little coffee, and so I just pulled in automatically. And it was one of those rest areas where it's up, 20 feet and then up, and about 3 or 4, and of course the action was up at the top there. They said, and I never did know what they were having, but that they were selling the coffee and donuts, or you could just give them to you and you donate, and it went to a certain cause. So when I got out, I pulled in there and stopped, and when I got out, I seen 2 buses pull in. They were chartered buses. And I got out and started to go to the step to go up, and the first ones got off the first bus, and they were singing courses, religious courses. And I said, hey, y'all know those songs? Yeah. Said, we've been singing for miles. Said, we'd have church, but we hadn't got a preacher. And I said, you got one now. And he hollered to the other bus and said, hey, we've got a preacher here. So we went and I went uphill from them a little, and preached back down at them. We had a great time there for about, sang some courses and worship, and there's, there's about 50 or 60 of them, there's about 30 to the bus, I think. And when we got through, when I got through preaching, I asked them, are y'all spirit-filled? Well, a lot of them were and a lot of them wasn't. I said, well, hey, you that are not spirit-filled, you want to be spirit-filled? So we brought them up to the front and got those that were spirit-filled, and we laid hands on them, and before we got away from there, well, everybody was spirit-filled. They said they wanted to be. And I was getting ready to leave then. I said, well, I got to get on. And one of them said, pulled off his hat and said, let's take an offering for this preacher. And I said, I don't want to make nothing here. Let's give it to this cause. Go ahead and take the offering. We'll give it to whatever this cause is here. It felt like it might would not actually be a worthy cause. So we did that. I still get cards occasionally from some of them. God's good, isn't he? He puts you. I've got to meet a lot of people, and God has, he has really been with me. Well, needless to say, I went on down the road there, and I was happy. I really felt good about it, about the meeting in the rest area. I just prayed and talked to the Lord and said, Lord, I didn't remind you 10 minutes you had me in just what I said I wanted to be in. Hallelujah. Well, when the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dreamed. Then was our mouths filled with laughter and our tongues with singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord's done great things for us. Yeah, the Lord has done great things for us. Well, we are glad. Turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams of the south. He that soweth in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth bearing precious seed shall doubtless come again, rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. There is a passage that says, cast your bread upon the water, and after many days it will return. And I always say, it'll have some peanut butter on it when it gets back to you. God will be indebted to no man. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness toward us. Thank you for this place of worship. Oh, it's been a real blessing to God's people.
Yes, it has.
Glenn and Irma, Glenn's vision, it got him over here and got him over here, and they've really done a work for the kingdom.
Amen.
They have really been good friends with me, with us. My wife is, she doesn't travel with me much. We had a big family, and she's had to stay at home during that time, so she kind of got used to it, and she still stays in a lot. But she travels some with me. She loves it, too. She loves it as well as I do, but there's always something to do around there. And I pastor, too, until they can get somebody. And praise the Lord. Well, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, Lord, what a good congregation this is. I know I've preached some two-hour ones here, and I teach a lot when I preach, but I'm not up to it now. If the Lord will give me the strength, I've got the punch. I just haven't got. Praise the Lord. Yes. It takes a good anointing. The anointing breaks the yoke and destroys the fetter.
Yes, sir.
If there's no anointing, no yokes will be broken.
That's right.
And no fetters will be destroyed. Hallelujah. Yeah. The psalmist said, "Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? Kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed." Let us cast their cords asunder, and so the psalmist goes. They cast their cords from him, and I don't know. I got lost on that one, Bill. Did you know that it's the people are choosing sides now? The nations are choosing sides. Things are are set for. I believe things are set for action. I don't think there'll be any more just coasting along. We're set for action, and the kings of the earth are setting themselves against. You know how all the nations are. Hey, they're setting themselves against the United States.
To take counsel against it.
Yeah, take counsel against the
Lord and against his anointing.
Amen, and his anointing. They say, "Let us break his bands from us, let us cast his cords asunder. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh, he shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak to them in his wrath, and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet have I set my king in my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree the Lord hath said unto me, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I'll give you the heathen for thine inheritance, the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt rule them with a rod of iron, dash them in pieces as a potter's vessel. Hear ye kings, and be wise, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear, rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry with you, and you perish from the way when his wrath is kindled. But a little blessed are all they that do put their trust in the Lord. Lord, how art they increased that trouble me? Many there be that rise up against me. Many there be that save my soul. There's no help for him in God. But thou, O Lord, art my shield and my glory and the lifter up of mine head. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill. I laid me down and slept, and I awaked, for the Lord sustained me. I won't be afraid now if 10,000 people gather themselves together against me. Rise up, O Lord, save me, my God. Thou hast smitten all mine enemies upon the cheekbone. You've broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongeth to thee, and thy blessings are upon all of your people. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness toward us. God bless you tonight, and blessings be on the camp here during this meeting. And may the Lord shower you with the best meeting yet. How would you like that, Glenn? Praise the Lord. God bless you.
Are you praying tonight?
Hmm?
Are you
Okay.
Well, I asked Brother Henry to come and minister whatever he feels the rest of the night. And we don't have any windows to fall out of, so we're safe. Brother Henry, come and minister what the Lord lays on you for.
I got to obey God. The Bible says that faith is the substance of things hoped for, and it's not yet seen. Where it says that the spirit of a man shall sustain him in his infirmity. I'm going to ask God to do something for you. And then I'll talk to you about what's on my heart. But I'm going to have to, I don't know you, you don't know me, we just met. But I got to obey my boss. And I'm going to have to disallow something you said, that your days will be shortened. I'm not in agreement. I'm not in agreement. And if, with your permission, I'd like to break a spirit of death as assigned to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, you lying foul spirit that's accusing this man because of this infirmity, loose him. Now, the word says the spirit of a man shall sustain him in his infirmity. I want to tell you something. I'm a young buck. Don't let these whiskers fool you. And our faith is built on the foundation of the apostles and all those that followed them. The foundation of the apostles has traveled through men as the work of the Holy Spirit. It didn't stop back there. It's been finding like a trickle, a way to flow in each generation. And you may not realize it, but you're part of that foundation too, if you ever saw it. If the Pharisees and Sadducees would get out of the way, we might have church. It's men like you and your faith that young bucks see him. I heard him tonight. Did you hear him? Did you hear Papa? I heard him. I'm not in agreement with the spirit of death, sir. I don't know what that thing is. I don't care what it is. But if you'll be in agreement, I'd like to command it to be broken. So you can be on loan to your church a few more years. Until they find somebody. Would you lay your hand on the back of his neck? Would you lay your hand on the back of his neck? Spirit of infirmity. I don't care where you came from. I don't care how you got there. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom I serve, Father, stretch forth your hand to heal and deliver. Lungs, be renewed. Air, fill. Fill. Spirit, rise up. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Now, with all due respect to you, my elder, I want you to do something for me. I want you to cast down the words of any doctor or any individual, including your own, that would have set in motion shortening your life. And tell Father you cancel those words.
Well, Father, I cancel those words that would break my longevity and anything that would shorten my lifespan that is already designated, Heavenly Father. And I ask you to forgive me for speaking negative about it. In Jesus' name.
Thank the Lord.
You just let me do what I felt I needed to do. Peanut butter sandwiches, huh? Look, find somebody next to you. No, I know I'm here. Look sideways. Find somebody next to you. No, you're looking at me again. You don't like each other? Find somebody this way. Find somebody next to you. I know I'm here. Don't look at me. Don't look at me. Look at somebody side beside you. Say, you know what? I got to tell you something. It might come as a complete surprise, even an absolute shock. But here it comes anyway. You're the best thing since peanut butter. Now, you know how you get... Now, tell... Look at him. Look at him. Say, you know how you get peanut butter, don't you? You find a bunch of nuts and squeeze them really hard. So give somebody a big hug next to you. Come on, give it up. You started this peanut butter stuff. Back in 1986, I was goofing off around a campfire in southern Maine at a 4th of July get-together, a bunch of people on a lake. And about 9 o'clock at night, an unsaved person, knowing I was a pastor, asked me a question. And for the next 2 hours, you never ask a pastor a question. You're going to get a sermon. And for the next 2 hours, I unfolded Genesis to Revelation. Just 2 hours. In the, what's called the timeline of God. From the beginning all the way through ages and so on. The next day, I had more questions. 3 days later, we baptized 7 in that same lake that had come to the Lord because of one question. Not bad. But in the audience, unbeknownst to me in the shadows of a campfire, was a Church of Christ pastor. And I had gone back to my home state and was coming back in a couple of weeks. And at my office one day, I got this call from this Church of Christ, Pastor Black, Church of Christ, Standish, Maine, asking me, knowing I was coming back to Southern Maine, would I come preach in his church on a Sunday morning? You get me in a Church of Christ on a Sunday morning, they two worlds apart. Do you know what I'm talking about? And I said, me? He said, yeah, you. I said, sir, you don't know what you're asking. I mean, your Church of Christ, I'm who knows what. He said, God spoke to me and said, I want you to come preach in my church on Sunday morning. I said, sir, you don't know what you're asking. He said, yes, sir. You going to obey God and come or not? I said, yes, sir. Be right there. What time? He said, I said, what you want me to teach on? He said, God will tell you. I'll know how you're supposed to come. I said, all right, I'll be there. Well, that was about a week. Come Saturday night, I didn't have nothing. Nothing. Zero. And I finally had enough sense to ask my boss, what should I teach on? I mean, sometimes, you know, you just need to ask. And out of the blue in my, and I don't know how God speaks to you, but sometimes if God speaks to me, sometimes it's like my own mind speaking to me, thoughts appear. I don't know if it's me, God, or the devil most of the time. And later I found it was him sometimes. Do you ever have that? Is that an honest statement? That's why the Word of God says to hold every thought in captivity. Casting down every imagination. Holding up everything to what? The knowledge of God. Well, how do you know what the knowledge of God is? Read your Bible. Somebody said the other day, said, Pastor, you've got a word for me. You know, today what you see in Christianity, everybody's going to somebody else for a word. You got a word for me? Somebody, they figure because, you know, I got that word pastor on my label, that I'm supposed to know something. And they came to me and said, Pastor, you got a word for me? I said, I absolutely do. What is it? Read your Bible. Anyway, these words began to form in my mind. I want you, Henry, to teach on the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I said, you're the devil. Get out of here. This is a Church of Christ. Give me a break. You're trying to get me stoned. This voice came, no, Henry, I'm not the devil. If you'll chill long enough, I'll teach you how to teach it, and they'll receive it. Doesn't talk to me further. In my mind, these words began to form. Henry, the Church of Christ really believe the Old Testament. They really are students of the Word. They just don't understand what I did on the day of Pentecost. What you mean, Lord? If you'll teach them Old Testament anointings, that I anointed the few to even raise the dead, heal the sick, did all manner of miracles, and if you'll teach them Old Testament anointings, and then show how it's not just for the few today, it's for everyone that believes, I want to anoint, to do my works in my name, their hearts will open, and they'll receive you. They said they will. So I began to sit down and unfold from the Word of God, and I finished. Unfortunately, it was a two-hour sermon. Now, this Church of Christ would come in at 11 and leave at 11:45. That way they could beat the Baptist to Ryan's at 12. I had a two-hour sermon. You cannot teach anointing Old and New Testament in 15 minutes. And so I had it prepared, and I showed up on this Sunday morning, and I walked in, and it was time to teach, and I got up, and I looked at this congregation. It was a large Church of Christ in Standish, Maine, about 130, 140 people. And I said, I got some good news, and I got some bad news. What do you want to hear first? Well, I'll tell you what. I got the good news first. The good news is Pastor Black asked me to teach. He said if I came, God would speak a word to this church. And the good news is this, I have a sovereign word from God for this church. That's the good news. The bad news is this, if you have a roast in the oven, it's going to burn. So if you need to go home, turn that roast off and come back, fine. Nobody had a roast that day. Nobody left. I began to explain the anointings of the Old Testament, how that in the New Testament, under the New Covenant, God, the Father, through Jesus Christ, wants to anoint every son and daughter with power to do His works. And I began to explain it. At the end of 2 hours, I asked a question. I said, if I have explained this correctly and accurately from Scripture, I invite you to come forward. We can do it as the day of Pentecost. The Spirit of God can fall on you. But really, more accurately, when I read in Acts, is that those that already have the anointing can lay hands on others to receive. And that's really what I'd like to do. So if you'd like to receive the anointing, have you received since you believed, and you'd like to be anointed by God to do the works of God in the name of Jesus, come on down. Well, Church of Christ, you don't come on down for nothing. Come on down. You know, it was like, what's that TV program? Come on down, you know. Price is Right. Well, there was just awful silence. All of a sudden, there was a stern, and Pastor Black got up, and he jumped up on the stage, and he put his arm around me and said, I want it. Well, what I didn't know is that Pastor Black had been sneaking off once a month to Full Gospel Businessmen Fellowship meetings in Portland. He didn't tell nobody. What I didn't know, 4 weeks before, the district presbyter out of Boston had been there, and what I taught, he said, was of the devil. If I'd known that, I would have caught me a whale. For sure. Then I would have been in a whale of a mess. I want to tell you, after Pastor Black came up, that entire church, from the youngest to the oldest, poured to the front, up and down the aisles. Two sinners got saved, and as they were walking the aisle to receive, and that entire church came forward to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You just never know when you just show up and make yourself available. See, that's the story I heard from you. You got to show up. You know, a lot of times we show up, but we don't know what we're doing there. God couldn't use us because we're just brain dead. We're vegetating through life. We're not even available. We show up, but are we available to hear and see the cue cards He gives us? If you ever come to Georgia sometime, come by my office over at Pleasant Valley. I'll take you over the retreat, and I'll show you on the wall the proof of this story. Because a year later, 2 years later actually, I got a calendar, church calendar from Pastor Black. It's on the wall of my office. Nice, pretty snow picture of New England. And down here it says, Standish Church of Christ, a full gospel church. Hanging on my wall as a trophy. You see, you just never know, do you? I know some of the principles that you here have tapped into in some of the teachings I have in the book A More Excellent Way. I received a letter a few months ago from an individual who asked to quote in a book he was writing something I said in A Block to Healing, in dealing with the Lord's Supper. And he asked permission to quote. And I gave it and said, anything else you see in there you want to quote, just give proper credit and you can do what you want. Well, he not only gave the quote, but he gave an entire appendix on the cancer insight we have, and then a top five books in America that he recommends. Number one is A More Excellent Way. Now, let me give you Paul Harvey's version of this, the rest of the story. This individual is a national figure evangelist for the Church of Christ. And he has a new book out. Do you know what it's called? It's called Putting Christ Back into Healing and Healing Back into the Church. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you something. You may be surprised in the next few years who God will raise up to turn the world upside down in these last days. It may not be those who say they're the ones. My background is Pentecostal, way back. And what was birthed by the founders of the Pentecostal movement, for the most part, has become no more than another dead denomination. I addressed an international organization 2 years ago. They're in 32 countries. They consider themselves the ultimate expression of God in mankind. A little esoteric, don't you think? But they consider themselves sons of an order greater than the average believer. And you've been around a while, you know what I'm talking about. And I taught their leadership, and I said, what you have hated the most, you have become just another dead denomination. What are we going to do about it? We're in this year of 2002, in which I'm talking to you. We're roughly 2,000 years down the road from the early church. We've had 17,698,768,000 sermons by somebody. And we have yet to recapture the integrity and the power of the first century church. There's something wrong with this picture. You can hardly tell the difference between saint and sinner in the issue of righteousness. You can hardly tell the difference between saint and sinner in doctor's offices. And you can hardly tell the difference between saint and sinner in psychologist and psychiatric counseling centers. Something is wrong. Today, if you don't have a DD, PhD, whatever after your name, you don't qualify to pastor most churches in America. If you don't have a psychologist degree attached to it, you don't qualify. I thought it was unlearned and ignorant people that turned the world upside down. Anybody here qualify? I'll tell you what the word says. Ever learning, but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Faith without works is dead. You say you have faith. I'll show you my faith by my works, because they testify of Him. In these next few days, I'm going to hang out with you. Hang in with you. hang around. I am a prodigal. You know what a prodigal is? I was a PK. What a PK is? Preacher's kid. I had an abusive father. And he and the devil and God became one. You couldn't get me in a church for 20 years of my adult life. Now you can't keep me out. God got a sense of humor. I'm a dead man that God raised from the dead by faith. And you know what? Dead men are just happy to be alive. Dead men are just happy to be alive. I want to tell you just a little bit about who I am in the Lord, not to promote myself, but I think you need to know a little bit about possibly what you're eating. If you're going to be here and I speak this week, or I'm hanging around doing something, whatever, you need to know a little bit about how I think. I mean, you'll know a little bit about how I think by reading the book, The More Actionable Way. That's just a nothing, really. That's just an insight into some things God showed me, which was a transcription of a teaching I did for Wycliffe Bible Translators. I began ministering in the early 80s, almost 20 years ago. And I saw that God, in Psalm 103, was the Lord who forgave us of all of our what? Its iniquities. And he healed us of all of our diseases. I read over in 3 John verse 2, "Dearly beloved, wish above all things that you prosper and be in good health, even as your soul prospereth." So I saw both from the Old and New Testament that it was God's will to forgive us of our iniquities and to heal us of our diseases. That is the children's bread. And I said, fantastic. And I began to move ahead and begin to minister to people in the name of the Lord Jesus, anointing them with oil and all the things that you see everybody doing. Everything's in the Word. And for a season, a short season, I might add, just about probably 90% of everyone that I ever ministered to in disease, God healed them. That was early. Then one day, zero. And for several months, everybody I ministered to in healing and deliverance never were changed. And I finally, after several months, went in my prayer time to my father, and I said, "What gives? You better talk to this boy quick." And in my heart, these words formed. "Henry, I haven't sent the first person to you for 9 months. Satan has. But Lord, these are believers. I know. But I'm not their Lord. They call me Lord, but I am not Lord of their life, and Satan knows it. So he's sending people to you that I will not heal until they repent of their sins." That took me down a journey of understanding sin, iniquities. Let me throw three buzzwords at you. Sin, sins, and iniquities. I began to understand the scripture that says, "If there be any sick amongst you, let them call for the elders of the church, and they shall anoint them with oil, and they shall pray the prayer of faith. For the prayer of faith shall save the sick." And then I began to discover that no one really sometimes quotes all of Scripture in context or even finishes a complete Scripture. And the rest of that Scripture goes like this: "And if they have committed any sins, it shall be forgiven." Then I began to understand Psalm 103. That forgiveness of iniquities must precede healing of disease. But then I began to observe in Christianity, in most churches that I walked into, they were anointing with oil, praying the prayer of faith, asking God to heal, but I never once heard any confession of sin connected with the disease that they were being asked to be free of. When it's found right there, the combination in Scripture. Then I began to understand what was happening to God's precious people is that because we were His kids and we had this covenant business taught to us, we had this faith business taught to us, we had word, faith, healing, deliverance, that we came with the blessings, but we were not interested in the obedience. I've come down many journeys in the past 20 years. I've followed most of what's ever happened. I've studied. I've followed most of what the healing ministries have done or have not. Most of the deliverance ministries have or have not. I have tried everything that you can imagine. And to be honest with you, back in the early days of doing deliverance of evil spirits, it was a lot of work. And I found just about 80% of those people that I was removing evil spirits from, they came back the next morning because they weren't filled up with God, nor did they care about God. They just wanted the fix. I began to understand it wasn't just healing and deliverance that Jesus had told us to do. In fact, He didn't say to go out and even get anybody born again. He did say you must be born again before you stoned me with this statement. You must be born again. But He said to go into all the world and make disciples out of all men. Healing and deliverance without discipleship is a shallow box. So I began to disciple men. And then when it came time to administer healing and deliverance, it was amazing to see how much different it was. And so from that standpoint, I began to understand that. But I began to understand something else, that we have been asking God to heal us, but not repent for the particular area of unrighteousness that was directly connected to that particular disease.
This is the end of Part A. Please play Part B. Thank you. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.